Another episode of Comaholics, episode 14.
Wait, 14?
14.
I thought this was 13.
No, 13 was last time.
Are you sure?
Yes. We always have this discussion. We never remember what episode.
The problem is we start drinking before the show starts.
I know. It's difficult. I can't work under these
conditions. I gotta drink after.
Cheers.
Yeah, so anyway. Scotch.
Like to start off with the heavy stuff.
Remember, children, do not attempt this at home. We are professionals.
Yeah, as I say, trained. Liquor before beer.
I would say at this point we're well trained, not maybe a little past novice.
Oh, we're well trained like a poofling and monkey.
That's right.
Oh yeah.
All right, so what are we talking about today? Let's give everybody a brief overview before we get into this week's.
Well, we'll talk about what we recently read, and then we're gonna go into 52. The new 52 from DC.
All 52 number one.
Well, I can be. I have not read all 52. I've got a stack, though. I did put a dent in it. And then we're going to talk about my hero, the Merc with the Mouth.
But this time, Deadpool Max.
Yes.
Because last time we did Merc with the Mouth.
Yeah.
And now we're going to do Max, and then maybe in a year we'll do everything of the regular Deadpool series after it's been canceled.
It'll take a year to finish it.
I think the series is not long for this world.
You think so?
I think so. I hate to say it, because I like it, but we tend to jinx things when we like them.
Yeah.
So, and then the final segment tonight will be...
I don't know. What is it?
You don't know?
Totally.
Oh, we'll just randomly pick something. What?
I was just commenting because it's like right there on my fridge. I've got a poster of it on my fridge.
Holy Terror from Frank Miller.
I've been anticipating this one, so...
All right. The one you didn't realize was a $30 hardcover.
That's right. I thought it was like just like maybe like a 6-issue series or something, and I thought we were getting the first issue that week. No.
Hey, by the way, there's a $30 hardcover in your box for you.
Yeah, we won't talk about the price of that week, but I blew the budget.
Okay, so that'll be the final segment tonight. So, segment one.
Right.
As we started off. Did I put my phone on silent, by the way? You tell me.
I did.
Okay, good. All right, let's go ahead. Is your phone on silent?
Now it is.
Oh, that could have been bad. All right.
You want to be that guy. Because, you know, I'm usually the one that has, like, the really stupid ringtone. You know, the really obnoxious one.
All right.
Okay, well, the bulk of what I've read recently is number ones from DC.
Right.
So, I won't have too much to talk about otherwise.
Wow, this will not be a 30-minute segment this week.
Oh. Well, New Avengers, which you're not reading the annual.
Nope. I'm not reading New Avengers, actually.
Yeah.
I don't like Luke Cage, so I just kind of stopped that one.
Actually, I told you I was going to stop this one, too, but it was in my box, so I just...
Oh, you're still on the list for it, I'm pretty sure.
No, take me off New.
Maybe that was just habitual I put it in here.
Yeah. The annual was good. It was... it's a former Avenger, like one of the original Avengers. I can't remember.
Wonder Man?
Yes.
Because it looked like him on the cover.
Yeah. And he comes back and basically he's so twisted up in his head that he blames the current Avengers for just about everything that's gone wrong. And he forms a team of quasi bad guys and they wreak havoc on the mansion. I like the art still, and Bendis' writing, I think, is entertaining. Actually, up until this annual, I was kind of sick of it. Are you typing?
Oh, I just removed New Avengers from your list.
Okay. Well, he doesn't necessarily have to listen to you. It's the audience that has to.
Right. Really, I know what you're saying.
Take the typing noise off, at least.
Nah.
No, yeah, but he's got, like, the classic typewriter noise. Okay. Anywho, I really like this issue. I was kind of getting sick of New Avengers. This annual was pretty exciting stuff. The team of bad guys that they've got facing the New Avengers, I don't know who they all are, but it was still a fun story. I enjoyed it.
All right, then.
Critical Millennium, you don't want to talk about because you don't like it.
I just couldn't get into it. I tried reading it. I just couldn't get into it.
For me, it's like a cross between, like, Blade Runner and Brazil. Is what
I just... I don't know. Something about the style of the writing for me. Like, I just couldn't... I read about half of the first issue, and I just couldn't take any more of it.
Well, there's a lot of bizarre aspects to it, to the storyline. But I really enjoyed it. It's a four-issue series. They're $3.95 a piece, so it is kind of a hefty price. But they're thick. It's a thick read.
Right.
So I really liked it.
And it's from Arkea, so we have a high-quality hardcover.
That's right. Everything from Arkea is just wonderful. So, ASM, are you caught up?
Yes.
What do you think? You
like Spider Island?
Yeah.
It started to get a lot more interesting, I think, in the last two issues, I guess. Everybody started turning into actual spiders, including Jameson.
Right.
Which I loved. There's the scene with Jameson and Spider-Man fighting side by side with spider powers.
Right.
He's like,
right.
Oh, no, I can get the extra costume. Got a hole in the mask for your mustache.
Right.
He's like, shut up!
Yeah, he's like, no, it's not happening.
But yeah,
and at the end, they're like mutating completely.
Right, like everybody who's infected with the virus is actually turning into spiders, and Mary Jane is now infected.
Right.
So we know at some point, unless she gets an antidote, she'll become a spider.
And Spidey's girlfriend, I forget her name.
Chloe, Claire, Carly.
Carly.
That's
yeah,
it.
Carly turns in, and they're like fighting side by side.
Right.
It was kind of fun. I've been saying this whole time, though, I think the Grim Hunt was a better read than what's currently going on, but I was kind of hyped up with Grim Hunt and thought something really big was coming.
Well, Spider Island's supposed to be their big thing, you know? Yeah. That's why they're doing all those crossovers and everything.
It's all right. It's entertaining. I like it, but I'm not, like, absolutely thrilled about it. Fear Itself, Book 6?
Meh.
Yeah.
I'm still having a hard time with Fear Itself.
I'm trying to remember. In fact, it made that last
Bucky's dead, and Captain America is like, okay, well, this sucks. I guess we're going to have to evacuate Earth.
That's right. Cap actually goes to Asgard and, like, argues with Odin.
Right.
And, like, stands up to him, and then Odin just kind of banishes
Tony Stark is trying to make weapons for a last stand on Earth.
Right.
And for some reason, Steve Rogers gives into the fear.
Yeah.
And instead, he's like, oh, we got to go.
Yeah.
We're just going to evacuate Earth.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm so super heroic.
But no, but then at the end, Cap stands up and, like, he's right outside of Broxton or something or wherever the Asgard
is. Oh, yeah, he goes back to Oklahoma to make a... No, but isn't it...
His last stand.
But isn't his stand against Odin?
Yes.
Coming to kill everybody on Earth? So he's willing to fight
Odin. No, he's fighting the serpent.
Is that who he's fighting?
Yeah, the serpent comes.
See, it had such a small impact
on
me.
Massive impact
on
you.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
New Avengers Fear Itself, they introduced Daredevil as an Avenger now. As an honorary.
Still not going to read it. I'm reading
Fear
Daredevil.
Wolverine, did you read this? Where he's tied to the H-bomb?
Nope.
For a nice side story, you know, if you're a diehard Wolverine fan, I think you'll enjoy it.
I own all those issues.
Yeah.
I just haven't read it.
How about just the regular Wolverine title?
Not cut up on it.
Okay.
I mean, you can spoil it for me. Don't worry about it.
Well, at this point, I think we had talked about it last time. Wolverine inadvertently kills basically bastard children.
Right.
And in this issue, he's like literally like climbing up a mountain, going to the very top of it, and jumping off.
Trying to kill himself.
Landing. Coming, yeah, rejuvenating and doing it over and over again.
Huh.
Like, what's the Greek, was it Atlas that, like, carried the
weight of the world?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically what he's doing. He keeps repeatedly doing it. So, and the reason why he's doing it, because the only time he can, like, forget his pain of killing his children is that brief moment when he lands on the rocks.
Huh.
So then he climbs up the mountain with his bare hands and, like, does it over and over again. And then he has, there's like an intervention, and he, at the end, Dokken, and...
you mean the rock band?
No, not the rock band. His son. His evil son.
It's the Japanese...
Evil too, with a name like that.
It's the Japanese name for Mongol.
Well, he's, well, there you
go. Which I think is where the band got it from. Right. They just decided to spell it differently.
Oh.
But, no, I really liked it. And at the end was probably my favorite tribute to 9/11.
Yeah, they reprinted... They've been reprinting the 9/11 stories.
This one's called Periphery, and it was basically like family get up in the morning, arguing, yelling, trying to go about their day.
And then everything happens.
And then the attack happens, and they all get together. And,
right.
So, that was pretty cool. What about Daredevil? You're caught up on Daredevil, right?
Not caught up on Daredevil.
Okay.
I have them.
Okay.
They're in my to-read pile, but...
Well, that's really... I mean, that's
you
it.
Spoil, do you want to spoil Daredevil?
Well, it was a very... I liked it, because it's kind of... They're going back to that, like, classic style. Well, classic bad guy. What's his name?
Is it Claw?
Claw, yeah. I mean, they're bringing back a classic bad guy.
Because I read... I love the story
of how they introduce him coming back. Like, basically, you know, he's been banished into space.
Claw has?
Yeah.
Okay.
According to this storyline.
Okay.
And what basically is like the sound reverberations of him still linger on Earth, and they form...
Because I read, I think it's the end of 2, where Daredevil goes into the underground or whatever to figure out what's going on. He gets stuck in the machines.
Right.
And they start plugging all the wires and cables into him. So, I mean, I've read up to that point, but I haven't read beyond that.
But it's they're going back to a kind of a classic style to it. I mean, just like the
artwork is
the artwork is kind of.
Excuse me. Who is that doing the artwork?
Rivera.
Huh. Oh wait, is that Pablo or Javier?
Pablo.
I don't know. I'm just.
It says P. I don't know.
Is P Pablo? Look at the credits page. You know, they do write the name.
It's Paulo.
Of the Oh, it is a Pablo?
It's Paulo.
Oh, Paulo.
Well, we apologize. Being very racist.
Hey, I was close. All right.
Okay, so that's all I got.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk about a couple, because I have read all 52 DC, which hasn't left a whole lot of time for other stuff. But Brilliant. The new series from Bendis and Mark Bagley, the guys who worked on Ultimate Spider-Man forever.
Okay.
They're back with this new series, Brilliant. And basically, it's about these, like, college-age science nerds who realize that they can mess with the laws of physics and make superpowers. And so what's the first thing you do when you have superpowers? They decide to go rob banks.
Because cool.
They're college kids, they don't care, whatever, get money, you know. And so that basically sets up this issue where one of them goes in to rob the bank, he gets away with it, and all the friends are like, oh, yeah, cool, and then they bring in, like, another friend. So they're explaining to him everything that's going on and telling him the story, and so that's how you're brought in
told
everything that's going on. It's an interesting way to tell the story. I thought it came across pretty well, but I'm not sure exactly how long the legs the story's going to have. Rachel Rising... is another one I've been reading. This is from Terry Moore. He did a book called Strangers in Paradise for a long time, and then Echo.
I mean the publisher.
Abstract Studio.
Oh, okay.
It's his own thing. He's a self-publishing guy.
Awesome.
He's been doing indie comics for a long time. Basically, in this one, the first issue, this woman basically digs herself out of the ground and goes back home and realizes that a couple days have passed, and her eyes are like bloodshot red. And she's got strangle marks on her neck, and she realizes she's supposed to be dead, and for some reason she's not.
Wow.
But it's been like 3 days, so she's been dead for a couple days.
Well, that happened once to me.
Really?
Yeah.
No. That was Woodstock 99.
Oh.
That's someone hit you in the head with a brick with the Red Hot Chili Peppers were on stage.
Yeah.
But in issue 2, she basically goes to talk to her old boyfriend who works at the coroner's office. And he thinks he's just crazy. It's like after midnight. He's working on dead bodies, so he sees her and just figures, oh, it's a ghost, whatever. He talks about how he's seen Jesus late at night. He's seen Elvis because you're working with corpses in the middle of the night. Your brain goes crazy. And she has to basically try to convince him that she's really alive. This is really happening. And takes him out to the field. And at the same time, there's some sort of evil going through town where people
turn into zombies.
And no, they just get like this wicked grin on their face, and they go and they look at somebody else, and then that person gets the wicked grin on their face. And so, like, this girl comes home, and her little sister's standing in the kitchen and beats her over the head and wraps saran wrap around her face and kills her, and then pulls out her little juice box, takes a little sip, and goes back to bed.
The Joker smile?
No, she loses the Joker smile.
Wednesday night to me.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of interesting to see what they're doing on that. People are like, oh, it's a new take on zombies. And it's like, well, it's not really zombies. I mean, she's back from the dead, but not really zombies. Anyway, Ultimate Spider-Man?
No.
This is Miles Morales and his big push. I did a news desk for Comic Nation TV talking about issue one, but issue two came out, was it this week? I don't know if it was this week or last week, but anyway, so far it's been pretty good. Basically, his dad is a former felon who's trying to have the good life, trying to live a good life now, not the good life, but you know, be true to his wife, work his job, everything like that. But his brother, who he used to do crimes with, is still kind of a dirtbag.
Okay.
But
he's living the thug life.
Right. But Miles, as the kid, he doesn't know anything about his dad's past. He doesn't know about his uncle's past, whatever. And but he suddenly finds he has superpowers. And he's got Spider-Man-like powers. But some of his powers are a little different. Like he can turn invisible, which Spider-Man couldn't do. You know, so it's like, you know, a little different. But he can climb walls, he can shoot webs, stuff like that. And he's trying to cope with Spider-Man, you know, now he's got Spider-Man powers. But, you know, there's a Spider-Man out there. This is before the whole Death of Spider-Man thing in the Ultimate Universe. So it's like he doesn't know what to do, because there is a Spider-Man, but he's got Spider-Man powers that can do Spider-Man stuff. So he's trying to debate whether or not he should become a second Spider-Man or something. So I'm thinking that's going to lead up to so then Spider-Man dies and he realizes he should become Spider-Man. So that is interesting on that. And then what?
I did read Kirby Genesis. Did you read Kirby Genesis yet?
No. I'm not. Nah.
I read the first couple issues. I'm kind of intrigued. I don't know if any comic-holics out there read that one. Got any comments, just email me at apocalypse@ineedcomics.com and let me know what you think about that one. But.
Were you familiar with any
No.
Kirby's old stuff?
Okay.
So that's all just kind of brand new to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so what else you got? Anything else?
I think pretty much everything else has been DC stuff, so.
Yeah, it's been the bulk of the series for us, so to speak.
So that'll be a big push for segment two. So, I guess, is that going to wrap it up? Are we going to do a short segment for segment one?
Yeah.
Under 20 minutes for segment
one? Oh, I don't know. We're counting down here.
Let's talk about something else. Last year I read, we're going to do a quick recap of everything we've covered on the show. Go!
Alright. Alright.
We'll take a quick break then, and then when we come back we're going to talk about the 52 first issues.
52.
In DC. All right. Be right back.
You're listening to a podcast on PopCultureNetwork.com. Be sure to head on over to the site at www.PopCultureNetwork.com to check out more podcasts and videos featuring toys, comic books, video games, and all the things you love. And while you're there, be sure to check out the Pop Culture Network store, where everything you purchase helps to keep us producing. Just head over to PopCultureNetwork.com and click on Store.
I've seen where you keep your drawers.
That's right. I keep them in my undercarriage. Mm-hmm.
Keep your drawers in your drawers.
That's right.
I hang mine on hangers. Welcome back to Comixology. Or Comaholics. Either way. However you want to describe us.
Welcome. You can find dirt on his MySpace account.
If you're in my top 8 MySpace, you know you're in deep with the Dirt Man.
The only man alive with a MySpace account.
Actually, I had 2 MySpace accounts. One for my wrestling character.
Oh, really?
And one for me. That's how long ago
PhD?
That's how long ago I signed up for MySpace. Like, member since 2003.
I'm still using CompuServe.
Really? You're that far ahead?
Yeah.
Wow, I'm on Prodigy. All right, Lazy. Lazy in German. Lazy in German.
Woo! The blooper.
This is a great show. This is why we get the big bucks. This is why we have our wonderful show. So,
we'll have a Dakota ring and a Rosetta Stone available after the show. That we'll mail them to you, and you'll be able to translate all of this, I promise.
You know, NASA scientists swear by Rosetta Stone. I heard it on their radio commercial.
I was talking about the actual Rosetta Stone.
Oh, the actual.
Yeah.
You're going to go get the actual one. That's a good call. Go get
that. Well, facsimiles there.
I'll tell you what, I'll wait right here. You go get it.
DC 52. 50? Holy crap.
52 number one issues falling all over the floor over there.
Yep.
So,
all I got to say is,
you think you read about 30 of them, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
And don't forget Justice League number one, which we actually talked about in the last episode.
We don't talk about that again.
But, okay, let's just go down the checklist here, okay?
Okay.
And you can grab your stack there.
Well, yeah, I got a stacky reader. I can remember if you say it.
And here's some here if you want to look through any while you're sitting over there lurking in the shadows.
Folks, for all of you that have read all 52.
Like me.
That is fantastic. You
hats off to you.
Are either a big loser or a huge hero.
Oh.
You're my hero. No, you're all my heroes. All
right. Action Comics number one.
Yes.
You read it?
Yes.
What did you think? Do you remember anything about it?
I liked it better than Superman.
Okay.
I liked the style of it. It felt like it was a new start, like a new start, new take on Superman.
Well, yeah, because Superman 1 is set 5 years after, more or less, Action Comics number one, right?
But I just didn't, I don't know, we'll get to that one. But anyways, yeah, I liked it.
So Action Comics, one thing that I thought was kind of weird.
And I think one thing we needed to, like, discuss is, okay, am I going to continue to carry this one?
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Okay, so we'll start with Action. Are you going to keep reading Action?
Yes.
Were you that familiar with Superman before? I mean, I know you probably read here and there.
The general scope of it, but not like an avid reader, no.
Okay. What about Animal Man number one? Did you read that one? That's about Buddy Baker.
No, I did not read Animal Man.
Okay. You might actually like that one.
Okay. I mean, it's on my list.
Put that on your read list, yeah.
Just couldn't get caught up, folks.
I'll see you get a copy of that one. Animal Man is one that I will read the next issue of. Let's see here. Batgirl.
Yes, of course. It's not, you know, it's not Stephanie Brown anymore.
Right,
it's
Barbara Gordon.
Barbara again. But I like the styling. It had that good Batgirl feel.
Are you aware that a lot of people didn't like Stephanie Brown and didn't like her being Batgirl and were a lot happier that Barbara Gordon was coming back?
Really? Well, I mean, probably the older school readers, but I kind of jumped in when Stephanie Brown was Batgirl, so that's just what I knew.
Right. I liked Stephanie Brown as Batgirl.
Yeah.
I thought it was a great series. Characters were well developed.
A person.
Yeah.
Because I would stalk her.
Whoa. Hey. You're a little creepy. But as Batgirl won this new one with Barbara Gordon, I'm a little upset because I did enjoy Barbara Gordon as Oracle when she was in the wheelchair, obviously, but she was plugged into the massive computer system.
Right.
She knew everything that was going on, you know. I thought that was a really great character, and, of course, they got rid of that to bring her back as Batgirl. So, on the one hand, it's like I'm...
How did you feel about how they decided to make that happen?
What do you mean?
She recovered from the shot.
Well, it's just the shot was not...
It just missed it.
Yeah, it basically missed its mark by just enough that she was in a wheelchair for a couple of years, but then...
Right, she came to.
Recovered. Eventually, she healed. I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, that's the new reality of it. As far as this book goes, though, I still enjoy the book. I enjoyed Batgirl, and I will be... I'll read issue two. You know, I'll keep reading it.
Yeah, I'm
gonna even though I liked the old series, I will still read this series.
Yeah, I'll collect that one too. So, all right, what's next?
Batwing. Did you read Batwing?
Yes, and actually, I was pleasantly surprised with Batwing.
Yeah, so was I. I didn't expect to like that at all. It was one of those that I only bought.
It's quite gory.
Well, I only bought it because everything else was sold out at that point. Like, this was, like, the Friday, you know, 2 days later, whatever. Everything else was sold out, but there were still copies of Batwing, and I was like, ah, okay, I'll buy a Batwing.
And who's the artist again? Because it was a style that I really enjoyed.
It was kind of a painted look to it.
Ben Oliver.
There you go. He asked for more. Can I have some more, please?
More comics, please. And I like the style of the suit. And I like the backstory where he's, like, in South Africa and he's, you know, fighting.
I like the... Well, because on the one hand, I was like, oh, so they're going to do Batman Inc. And the first thing they got to do is go for some, you know, diversity. Look at us, diversity, you know. But I like the character. He was a character with a good story, so I'm okay with it. You know what I mean?
Right.
As opposed to a lot of times they go, hey, we need diversity, randomly make something. Whereas in this case, it kind of felt like they had a story to tell, and they said, okay, well, here's where it will fit, make him, you know, tie into the whole Bat thing.
And actually, I kind of bought into the Batwing character, too. Like, I just enjoyed jumping into it. But.
And I like the interaction they had between him and Batman. Mm-hmm. And he's talking about the stuff he learned from Batman, where, you know, part of it is you got to sell it.
Right.
You know, it's the most ludicrous thing in the world you're doing.
Yeah, you're but if you like sell a giant it, bat.
Right.
Yeah, but if you
if you sell it, people will buy it.
So okay, so Batwing. You know what? I will buy the next issue, but I don't know if it's going to be like my ooh, gotta collect it every time. But I did enjoy the first issue.
Well, especially since he appears to die on the final page.
Right.
Where it's like, okay, well, I kind
of
want to. Right. I kind of want to know how that goes. But.
Okay, so what's next?
All right. After Batwing, we got Detective Comics number one.
Yes, of course.
Oh, that was brutal.
Awesome.
That was a lot more dark and menacing than I expected.
It was everything I wanted it to be. To be honest
was it?
With you, I think of top five of the 52, it may be number one. I mean, this has probably been my favorite.
Wow. Now, one thing I kind of felt was that, to me, it felt like Detective Comics 1 should have been Batman 1. And Batman 1 should have been Detective Comics
Like, in 1. The order they released them?
In the title.
Oh.
Because, we'll get to Batman in a minute, but Batman has this mystery of someone having a vendetta against the Wayne family, or whatever.
Right.
Whereas in Detective 1, it's Joker, him versus Joker, and Joker being brutal. And to me, it felt more like that's your classic Batman
story.
Oh, I see
what you're saying.
Batman versus Joker, whereas this
right.
mystery of who's coming after the Wayne family should have been the detective story. You know what I mean?
I think that the answer to your question will come in the next couple issues. Like if they veer one direction or the other with Detective. But
it could also be
But the end of... are we going to do spoilers on this?
Yeah.
Oh, the end of Detective, where the Joker has that... What's the villain that
the
he...
Doll maker?
Something like that.
You have to speak up.
The doll maker, doll man, doll...
That's it.
I think it was doll maker.
And he has him cut his face off.
Yeah.
And puts it on the wall. Oh my goodness. When I turned the page and saw that...
This is a much different Joker than...
Yeah, this...
Than what we've had in the past.
That was incredible.
Alright, what about Green Arrow number one?
Didn't read it.
Okay. Here's the take on Green Arrow.
Arrow Industries, and he's...
He has a group of friends helping him out. And it comes across really as Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where that TV show, you've had this one person who's the hero, and then, like, all the friends who are there to help out and have, like, the little one-liners and all that kind of stuff. And it's like, with a show like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, I enjoyed it for the first, like, maybe year or two, and then after that, it got kind of redundant and silly, and this annoyed me on pretty much every level in the first issue. Every single person he has backing him up, throwing out the one-liners, making their little team, I didn't like them. I didn't like any of them. So I'm done with Green Arrow. I am not going to go back for issue number two.
Actually, what was building up to before this made me not want to buy Green Arrow number one.
Oh, you mean the old Green Arrow series?
Yeah.
Because you read Green Arrow before.
And I tried to like it. I just don't care for the character that much anymore.
Yeah. All right.
Moving on.
Hawk and Dove number one.
Oh!
That was atrocious.
Liefeld. Need I say more?
Actually, yes.
Liefeld.
Because, for me, it wasn't the artwork that killed this book for me, as bad as the artwork was, but the story was so stupid.
Boring.
Well, it's just like, Nazi zombies on an airplane that they're going to crash into the right. Washington Monument.
Right.
It's like, you got to be kidding me. This is the dumbest. And then there was this whole thing about how, of course, Hawk and Dove were two brothers, and then Dove, the
right.
brother, died.
Right.
So this new chick
I
was like
kind of
the girlfriend,
and
she became the new Dove, but right. doesn't want to tell Hawk that she used to date the brother. And so they have like three pages of this
and
whole
that,
thing.
And then, you know, let's not forget Liefeld's artwork.
It's god-awful.
It's that god-awful, you know, early 80s.
90s.
90s, excuse me, early 90s, just, ugh.
Everything is over cross-hatched,
yeah.
and the anatomy mm-hmm. is all wrong. And
faces don't look right. And
faces change from panel to
right.
panel. It's, yeah.
So,
right.
actually, this would be on my bottom five.
Yes, yes.
Possibly the worst of the 52.
This was pretty... Boy, I don't know. There have been a couple clunkers,
okay.
but...
All right,
next up.
We'll see. We'll
Justice,
reveal itself.
Justice League International. This is the Booster Gold team, Batman.
Booster's hardly in it. I was disappointed. Like, I was really excited.
Well, it's a different Booster Gold.
Yeah.
I mean, there's obviously something different about him. I'm not sure exactly
right.
what, but...
He's not the same character, for sure.
But I enjoyed Batman being on the team, but... Like, not telling anybody he's on the team, basically.
He just showed up and said, okay.
Yeah, he's like, I'm here to keep tabs on everybody. Yeah, I kind of like that. I thought that was cool. Overall, I like the idea that Justice League is this group of heroes that come together and say, we have to fight for whatever.
Right.
Justice League International being the United Nations, being like, well,
yeah.
they're going to do their thing, we're going to do ours.
We're
going to
have ours, yeah.
You know, that, because, I mean, politicians
well,
and...
Yeah, and who was it that's struggling with Booster Gold being the leader? And he's like, oh, I'm not going to be a part of this if Booster's the leader.
Guy Gardner.
Yeah.
The Green Lantern.
The Green
yeah.
Lantern, yeah.
So, all right. Which is funny, because Guy Gardner and Booster Gold were both in Justice League together on the same team. So
not anymore, because it's all number back one. All
in, yeah, but this is back in the 90s. All right. Let's see here. Men of War, number one. Did you read that one?
No.
Okay, that's the new Sergeant Rock, basically. And it's the great-grandson, I think? No, just grandson of the original Sergeant Rock. Because Sergeant Rock was a World War II character, and instead of just taking the World War II character and putting him in modern day, they decided as if, like, this is a legit real-world army situation, so he's the grandson of
okay.
Sergeant Rock. And he's just like, I'm bred for battle. And they're like, you should be much higher in the chain of command. Why are you fighting, you know, your
regret?
Well, yeah, why are you not pushing yourself up the ladder? And he's like, because I don't want to be up the ladder. I want to be a fighter. I fight the front lines. This is what I do.
Right.
You know, so I really enjoyed that book. And they did a really good job of, it's set in modern day, like they do Afghanistan, you know, real soldiers, real war, without getting into any, like, these are soldiers, this is their job, they signed up for it, they're doing it.
Right.
You know, and none of the other stuff is involved, so I enjoyed that. All right, OMAC, number
yes.
one. Now, you read OMAC.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of OMAC? First of all, I love, the art style is incredibly crazy, and I love it.
Right.
But I know it's going to be kind of off-putting for a lot of people. So I'm wondering, did the art style bother you at all in that book?
No.
You just passed it.
Right there. It is. No, it didn't bother me. I just don't know enough about the character from
right.
the past.
You
so.
Well, because it's weird, because OMAC existed in the 70s and disappeared and then came back for Final Crisis and then kind of went away. And then now this is the new version of OMAC. So it kind of ties in and then doesn't.
Doesn't it have that kind of older style feel to it?
Yeah, well, Jack Kirby. From
okay.
Genesis,
right.
Kirby Genesis that you read, he originally created the character.
Okay.
And so the art style is trying to emulate kind of that Kirby's 70s feel to it.
Yeah, it's kind of got that, like where the heads, the faces are obscured to match the angle of the shot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It picks some weird perspectives sometimes.
Right.
And a lot of the poses and faces are straight out of old Jack Kirby artwork. I mean, you can tell that he was just working so
Kirby
hard
inspired.
To emulate his panel style and layout. But as far as the story, I mean, what did you think about the big monster?
I don't know if I'm interested enough to be like...
Will you read the next issue? Are you interested enough to read an issue two?
Yeah, just because it is kind of off the wall, and I'm glad that they decided to pick some off the wall characters.
Right.
Something that's not standard DC issue.
I mean, do you think at this point you'll pick up three, or you have to see how two is first?
See how two is first.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right, Static Shock number one?
No.
Okay. That one I really enjoyed. If you dug Spider-Man, I mean, basically it's a kid in high school, and it's got that same kind of classic Spider-Man vibe to it. He's a kid that doesn't fit in at school, and he's got these superpowers, and he doesn't know what to do about them. And he's a holdover from the Milestone universe, which a group of characters I really enjoyed. So, altogether, I think that's a good one, and more people should check that out. I'll see that you get a copy.
Yes, sir.
All right. Next up, Stormwatch number one.
Nope.
That's a Wildstorm. Actually, we read a Stormwatch trade. Stormwatch Year One. Remember that? Wasn't that Stormwatch?
No, it's not Stormwatch. That was Wildcats Year One.
Are you sure?
It was either the Authority or Wildcats.
Oh no, it was the Authority. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. All right. Stormwatch. But that Stormwatch was a Wildstorm team. It's got Martian Manhunter. That's where he ended up. But overall, yeah, I'm not. It's basically a group that is, they're super powerful, kind of all-knowing type superheroes, kind of watching what's happening on Earth and trying to decide whether or not to get involved. So whatever. Swamp Thing number one. Did you read that one?
Yes.
What did you think of Swamp Thing?
Actually, we kind of briefly talked about it.
Did we?
Yeah, I think we did.
When?
Just randomly.
On the last podcast or something?
No, like a phone conversation.
Oh, okay.
You and I talked about it.
Well, then I shoved it out of my head so I could clear my mind.
It seems like they're doing it very true to the classic character.
To the Alan Moore story?
The Alan Moore story. Except there's a twist where it seems like, maybe I don't know if...
No, go ahead.
It seems like Swamp Thing is something else.
Right.
It's not him.
Right.
He's not Swamp Thing.
Well, in Brightest...
He's a part of it.
In Brightest Day...
He came back. He was resurrected.
But in Brightest Day, though, don't they have Swamp Thing as being more of like an elemental force?
Right.
So that's kind of the idea I get, whereas Alec Holland is a guy...
Who's in touch with the elemental force.
Right. But the elemental force exists outside of him as well. Yeah, yeah. And so there's kind of a... I'm not exactly sure where they're going with it.
And it's Scott Snyder. Scott Snyder is like...
Your favorite guy.
I know, and he's like painted all over DC right now. So, so I really enjoyed that.
So, yeah, that was a good one. I'll definitely read
it. I'll collect it, yeah.
All right.
We're trying to shorten this up, folks, because it's, 52 issues and trying to get this into the line.
That was week one.
Wow.
Okay, week two. Batman and Robin, number one.
Yes.
Bruce and Damian, father and son, working together as a team. What do you think?
Cool, I really like it.
I like the fact that Damian is impulsive and brash.
No, they kept it.
They kept it basically
very true to the classic Damian.
Right, but have the two of them working together now, which I enjoyed. Batwoman number one.
I
did not enjoy it.
I didn't read it. No.
I'm not a fan of Batwoman in general. That's one of those characters they created for diversity's sake and then came up with a story. And so I didn't like her before Detective Comics. She was one of those characters where, okay, the big deal with Batwoman is that she's a lesbian. So, I know. So now they've got a lesbian. And, of course, because she's a lesbian, what was the first villain they gave her in Detective Comics? But suddenly there's a woman who's dressed up like a China doll, who's like this gothic Lolita who shows up in Gotham City for this lesbian to fight. So it's like they went, it's like, hey, look at us, we're diverse. But then they went, like, if lesbianism was a race, then they made this as racist as possible. You know what I mean?
Cool.
Nice. So it's like, so it's
all
like,
right, moving on.
You know,
let's
I just
give it much more time then.
Didn't like the character. All right, Deathstroke.
Yes, I read it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it a lot. Uh-huh. I like as the over-the-hill mercenary trying to prove himself. Mm-hmm. At the end, he blows everybody away.
Yeah.
I love that book. That Deathstroke is one I will definitely stick with for number two. All right, Demon Knights. That was the one set in medieval times.
Yes,
demon.
I read that.
I thought it was okay, but nothing special, really.
No, in fact, it's not even that prominent in my mind. I'm trying to remember the storyline.
It was medieval King Arthur knights. There was a...
Oh, there's like the sorcerers who were... Well, demon knights in it,
The demon.
Yeah.
Etrigan, whatever.
Like the whole kind of storyline of how he becomes...
cursed.
Yes.
Right. Again, though, overall, it was just kind of one of those things where it's like, I don't really care enough to stick with it.
The only thing that intrigued me is I always wanted to know a little bit more backstory of Etrigan. So I guess, like, if you're a fan of Demon, then, you know, you'll enjoy it. There is some backstory there.
All right. Frankenstein, Agent of Shade.
No, it's on my list.
I love this book.
Really?
Yes.
Because you were hesitant, I remember.
I was very hesitant. But basically, Shade is like this group of superheroes that are basically doing like covert ops, whatever. And they're just like the most bizarre, seemingly random group of people brought together. They're all like on this team, but they don't work together. It's like they're all... You know when you work in an office or something, it's like
we have to work together.
It's like you work together with the people, but you don't really work with them. They do their thing, you do your thing, you kind of interact a little bit. Right. Next to them, not with them. And that's kind of... You get this funky kind of crazy office feel to it, except they're all superheroes working on these cases, you know? So I enjoyed that one a lot. That had a good feel to it. Green Lantern number one with Sinestro. Did you read that one?
Did I read that one? Did
you miss that one?
I don't think I have.
Yeah, Green Lantern Core.
All right.
So Green Lantern, basically no change from the old universe. If you read Green Lantern before, you're walking right in on the ground level on this one. It's Sinestro is Green Lantern. Hal Jordan had the ring taken away from him. Hal Jordan is now trying to...
I kind of figured that was the gist of it.
But it's as if nothing has changed from the old universe. Right. So
I found that way the same way with Green Lantern Corps.
Grifter number one.
No, I haven't read that one.
Not great. It was okay, but the main problem with Grifter is... I don't know if you're supposed to already be familiar with the character from the Wildstorm universe, but I'm not really, and so the book just... He talks about things and talks about people, and it just didn't mean anything to me, you know? So I just kind of, overall, just kind of felt like I was reading a book that I didn't know anything about and I really didn't care about, you know? Alright, Legion Lost.
Legion Lost.
Legion of Superheroes Stuck in Modern Times.
No.
Okay. Basically... Legion of Superheroes is the superhero group, like, in the future, in the 24th century. A bunch of them came back to modern day, and then the whole Flashpoint thing happened.
And they're stuck.
And they're stuck here. They can't get back. They try to go to the future, and there's some sort of barrier that keeps them from being able to travel into the future. So they're stuck in this time period. So that's basically the gist of that. Mr. Terrific, number one?
Yeah, I read Mr. Terrific.
You say that, like,
uh-oh. No, where is it here? There it is.
Is Disco Stu?
Yeah, Disco Stu. The American trap, or he's in England. You know, I tried to really give this one a shot.
I had a hard time with the artwork.
Yeah.
The artwork a lot of times picks these weird perspective angles. The anatomy is really weird. People talk and... They're doing a lot of holding their hand at weird angles just because the guy wants it to look dynamic. So they're like, come in this other room. But they're like, come in this other room. You know, and it's all crazy looking.
Not really excited. I wasn't really grabbed by this character.
Yeah.
I mean, if Mr. Terrific were, like, walking in front of a bus, I probably wouldn't be like...
See, I liked
Mr. Terrific.
I liked him in the old DC universe, but in this DC universe, I don't really... I'm not really struck by him either. All right.
Yeah, nice suit.
Red Lantern's number one.
No, I haven't read that one yet.
Again, no change from before, and you really have to kind of be into the whole Red Lantern thing, otherwise it just doesn't feel like there's anything important going on in it, so... Resurrection Man, number one.
Yes.
You read that one, The Guy Who Cannot Die.
I like that one.
I thought it was pretty neat. The demons and angels are coming to try to collect his soul.
Right.
And he can't die. So no, he can't collect. They keep trying to kill him.
Yeah, he's trying to find his purpose, too, as to why, like...
Well, yeah, why can't I die? I don't know why I can't die. Stop bothering me, angels and demons. I don't know. Right. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Although I'm not exactly sure...
I think it had a nice twist at the end, too.
I'm not exactly sure how it's going to fit into the rest of the DC Universe, though.
No, this... Well, that's what intrigued me, because it's separate.
Yeah.
Like OMAC.
I guess. I didn't see that. All right, Suicide Squad, number one.
Yes, I read Suicide Squad.
That was the one
with
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I read it.
It opens up with them tied to the chairs, getting the crap beat out of them.
Yeah. It was, you know, got me all hot and bothered, just like Birds of Prey. But,
I enjoyed the story. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
I like this team of villains who are basically being turned into superheroes reluctantly.
I like the take on Harley Quinn, too.
A lot of people upset about the change.
Really?
In Harley Quinn.
I thought it was more like a goth punk kind of...
Well, kind of, yeah. But. All right, let's see. And last book of week two is Superboy number one.
Yes, I read it.
He's in the chamber.
Yeah.
He's been cloned. He understands language, and he understands concepts. But he's never been outside of the chamber before. He's never had to do anything before. And
no, I didn't read Superboy.
And
anymore.
Fairchild from the Wildstorm universe is there watching over him, and she decides to break him out, set him free, and then these agents of nowhere show up, and they decide they're going to use him to build this new Teen Titans team. And that's how it ends. So... Yeah.
Not too excited about
it. I don't know. It's just kind of one of those things where I was excited about it until I read Teen Titans 1. The more I think, like, when I first read Teen Titans 1, I was like, oh, that was pretty fun and blah, blah, blah. But then the more I think about Teen Titans 1, not as excited. All right, now we're on to week 3. Now that we're 28 minutes into this. Week 3, Batman number 1.
Yeah, I just read it today.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed the heck out of that book.
Yeah.
Because that book had Dick Grayson...
Right.
It had Tim Drake, it had Damian, it had Bruce, it had Alfred, and those guys are the team.
Right.
And I thought it was cool that they made Alfred as much of the team as everybody else.
Well, I like how they had, like, the level of security.
Right, the access granted. And,
you know, and Alfred's, like, the highest.
He's the only one as high a level as Batman.
I thought it was funny, like, I think it was even a comment where, like, are you wearing your... Like, somebody made a comment to Bruce Wayne, like, are you using your whatever thing is that, like, this, like, optical sensor that, like, he'd, like, walk up to somebody and it would say, you know...
Oh, right. You know, give him a readout.
Right, readout
of
the statistics of the person. It was good, though. I liked it.
Yeah. Birds of Prey, number one.
Yes.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
You can tell that... It's leading up to something. There was the guy who kissed Black Canary, had the Poison Ivy lipstick on.
Right.
So you know it's going to tie in with Poison Ivy at some point. Just overall...
Ooh, speaking of, since we're talking about tying in, have you seen the red-headed lady in any of the comics?
Not in all of them. There are a couple where I couldn't
find
her. I
didn't see her in any of them. Which one did you see
her? Oh, really? Well, here, let's see.
You know what we're talking about, Keith?
No.
Okay, well,
there's like a this like
in Flashpoint 5, Flash is trying to set the universe right, and there's a bunch of stuff he can't remember. And as he's traveling through time, trying to set things right, this hooded woman appears, and she explains to him that he messed up the time stream, and there are these different versions of everybody, and they all have to merge into one time stream in order for it to be fixed. So that's what he does. But then everyone's like, well, who is this chick? Like, why does she randomly show up? Well, then in all of these number one issues, she appears, like, in the background of a frame somewhere.
It's kind of eerie.
And I'm trying to remember.
Saw it in action? So it's not in every issue, then?
Well, no, I think it is in every issue, but I couldn't always spot her in every issue. There are some that, like, I read later, and people were like, oh, well, there she was. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess there she was. Let me see.
She's like the Watcher.
Here, let me see. Let me see your stack for a second.
Well, I never did see the Millennium Falcon in the. Which one was it? Episode 3, supposedly it made.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, it was in the space like, battle.
Right, but it flashes by the screen so fast, you know.
Right.
I still haven't seen it. So.
Let's see. Like, I think in Resurrection Man. It was in this or Griffin? No, it's right here in Resurrection Man. Boom. She blends right into the tree. She's right there in the tree. And so you see him running, and your eye is naturally going to him running, but she's standing right there in the middle of the frame. You looked right at that page and didn't even see her standing there.
Huh.
So, yeah, she's in. She's supposedly in every single one, but there are some that I haven't found her in. But, like, the first 2 weeks, I was just going through every book panel by panel, you know,
right.
Scouring. But after a couple weeks, it got a little old. But, yeah. All right, so that was Birds of Prey. Blue Beetle.
Haven't read it, but I want to.
I read it. It was okay, but I didn't really care for it. It was one of those where, I don't know, it's another teen with powers trying to figure out what to do, and I didn't like it.
Oh,
as
he's a teen in this.
I think he's still in high school.
Okay.
Maybe he's in college, I don't remember, but it was just kind of one of those where it's like, I kind of preferred Static Shock more, and it just kind of, it was like, this feels like another one trying to do the same thing, but not as well.
Okay.
So. Captain Atom, number one.
I did read it.
I thought it was pretty good.
Storyline seemed familiar.
Yeah, he can manipulate the objects around him, he realizes, but when he does, he loses the focus on himself.
Yeah, he can almost, like, overload himself. Right,
like, a little sleepy there.
Yeah, he absorbs all these. Oh no, I know what it is. Like eventually, like he can break down things to the atomic level.
Right.
But when he's processing these energies, he's breaking himself down.
He starts to lose control over the ability to hold himself together. One thing I found really interesting about the book, though, is if you look real close at the artwork, Captain Atom is the only character that is actually completely drawn in. He's the only thing in the entire book where they actually drew the full body of him. Everything else in the book, all he did was draw the shadows of the characters, and the colorist went in and filled in the rest of the space with the color.
Huh.
So through that entire book, Captain Atom is the only person who's physically fully drawn as being all there. So it's kind of like his reality is different from everyone else's reality. He sees things differently. Because of the way he processes everything.
Okay.
So he's alone in the universe. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So go back and check the artwork on that one.
Yeah, I am.
All right, then. Catwoman number one. Did you read Catwoman number
one? No.
A lot of negative press on Catwoman number one. I thought it was okay until it got to the end, which is the part that everybody hated, which is the part I hated. Where basically Batman shows up and the two of them have a quickie on the middle of the floor.
What?
And they show this scene of the two of them with their pants pulled down, just humping on the carpet.
What?
Yeah. It was stupid. It was so stupid. But, you know, it's trying to be titillating. It's on the edge. They're having sex, kids.
It's risque.
Batman and Catwoman have sex. Yeah, it was just stupid. I'm hoping that turns out to not really be Batman. That it's just some random, like, her upstairs neighbor in a suit, and she just kind of punches him around and has sex with him. Because if that's actually Batman, that's just
lame.
It just felt cheap, you know what I mean? It was like the boobs in Airplane. When everybody starts screaming, they just, the top was the one that jumps, and there's boobs.
I really like that.
Yeah, but you're just like, oh, there's boobs.
When I was little, that was it for me.
When I was little, man, there was a lot of rewinding on my VCR.
Pausing.
Yeah. Alright, there's that. DC Universe Presents with Deadman?
Yes, but I didn't finish it.
I didn't finish it? Wow. She told me that about you.
Because, I'll tell you what, I was a little disappointed.
Really?
Yeah. They were trying to give backstory to his character as to how the whole part where he's, like, in limbo with the woman telling him that he has to do all these things.
That is legit from the 70s. That's exactly how it was.
I don't like how they presented it. It annoyed me. I don't know.
Rama Kusha is the goddess who tells him he has to do good works to balance out.
Right.
And once he does enough, then he'll be able to ascend to the next plane. That's always how it's been. They kept it. I was kind of surprised they kept it, but yeah, that's how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The one thing that I didn't necessarily like was he jumps into other people's bodies, and he's trying to talk to this old fortune teller friend of his from the circus. So he's jumping into bodies, and it's like all these people he's jumping into and taking control of, they don't react once he leaves. So they're right. Like, oh, what was I doing? And why did that word come out of my mouth? It was like no one around them realized that they were talking weird, and right. Like, where did Daddy go? You know, right. It's just like, whatever. Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. I liked it. And I think it's just like Green Lantern from what you've said, too. It's pretty much just starts off.
Pretty much no change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, and I liked in Green Lantern Corps, like, the gore at the beginning, like, when those two Green Lanterns get slaughtered.
Oh, you see, like, their purple intestines coming out?
Yeah, they get, like, sliced in pieces and stuff. I don't know. I'm really intrigued with Green Lantern Corps.
Legion of Superheroes, you probably didn't read.
No.
Again, it seems like almost no change from their previous series, and they say something like, we've been trying to travel in the past. We can't contact those other Legionnaires. There's some sort of flashpoint energy that's blocking the way, or something like that. It's like, okay, whatever. Nightwing.
Yeah.
Number one. I enjoyed the heck out of that one.
Today.
That's one I'm definitely sticking with.
Yeah, Dick Grayson. I love him as... And, same thing, they did... And they've been doing with basically all of Batman. They've kept it exactly the same. You know, Dick Grayson talks about how he was Batman
right.
for a while.
And now he's back to being Dick Grayson. I also like how he says something like, man, I really miss having a butler around. And you see him, like, stepping over Chinese food cartons. And
nobody else talks about how he prefers to be in the loft, and he just got sick of the mansion.
He likes being in the city.
He wants to be in, yeah.
But he still likes having
is.
A butler.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
No, I've always liked that character, and I preferred, actually, Dick Grayson over Wayne for a while.
Yeah, I thought he made a good Batman. I was intrigued by it. All right. Red Hood and the Outlaws.
I finished it today as well. Man, I crammed a lot in today. That's why my brain's a little fuzzy.
I didn't care for it. And there are a couple things...
I didn't care for it. I don't know if it's something like I'm going to like continue on.
My problem was I didn't like any of the characters.
I guess that's what I'm saying. Nothing like grabbed me.
Yeah, I don't want to read issue 2 because I didn't like anybody in issue 1. And the one character they had in there who I did like was Corey, the alien, the orange chick.
Right.
She was from Teen Titans.
Because she was hot.
But, no, she was in Teen Titans for a long time. And in this version of the universe, well, no, she's a big slut bag.
Well, slut bag
she's
killer.
Just like, she's like, oh, do you want to go have sex?
Yeah.
I thought you just had sex with him. So, life is fleeting. Let's go have sex. It's like, what? Like, this is stupid. You know, again, it's one of those things where they're like, ooh, we're edgy.
And she's totally drawn in a, like, Michael Turner style.
Yeah, huge boobs, halo bikini, and, yeah.
Which there's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that, you know.
Well, someone actually did a comic strip online talking about this because she was in the Teen Titans cartoon.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people who grew up on the cartoon... bought the book because she's in it. Like, she's a holdover character.
Right.
And they were like, this isn't the character at all. And this is, like, the exact opposite. Because she was wholesome and friendly and helpful. And and in this one, she's self-serving and arrogant and a whore. Yeah. And and they go, well, you know, the TV show had, like, 2 million viewers. And this book sold 150,000 copies. You think maybe... they might have tried to channel the TV show a little bit more because 2 million people who watch that show, that's your prospective pool of people you're trying to pull in, would be the idea. You know what I mean?
Maybe they thought that prospective pool wouldn't carry over to comic books anyways.
Well, they obviously won't now.
Yeah.
But you didn't give them a reason to try. You know what I mean?
You should have done a one-shot. A little taste.
Something. Something not this.
Test demographic.
Supergirl number one.
No, I haven't read that one.
I enjoyed it, but it was very fast. Like the
quick read?
Well, yeah. The whole span of the issue is like maybe 10 minutes.
in real life of her fighting these dudes out in the mountains, and Superman appears at the end. So it's like you got this quick introduction of her, and she's confused and doesn't know what's going on and where she's at, but then it's over.
Okay.
So that was the problem. But, I mean, I'll read the second one. I enjoyed it, but it was over too quickly. There wasn't enough meat, really, in the story. And then Wonder Woman number one is the final event.
I haven't read that one, but I'm excited to read it. No?
My biggest issue with it is...
I like the cover art for leading up to
the artwork. The artwork on the inside is nice. It's a darker... It's also more brutal and gory than what you'd expect. It's not what you'd expect from Wonder Woman, but... A bunch of characters show up, interactions, they talk to each other like they know each other, they've known each other for years, and you have no idea who they are and why they're there, so there's just a whole lot of, I don't really know what's going on. Like, oh, it's you, so-and-so, what brings you here? It's like, who are they? Right. Why are they here? How do you know each other? You know what I mean? So, a little bit on that one, but we'll see how it goes. All right, that's the end of week 3.
Wow.
Now we're into week 4. 42 minutes into this segment, we're into week 4.
Week 4, that's right? That's the last one?
Last one.
Okay.
All-Star Western.
I haven't read it.
Okay, Jonah Hex in Gotham City.
Yeah.
Shortly after Civil War. No, it's actually, there's a serial killer, Jack the Ripper style type, moving through town, and Jonah Hex, the gunman, is brought in to basically try to sniff him out. So that one, I actually enjoyed that one. I'm trying to remember who wrote that one. That might have been Scott Snyder, too. I'm not sure. No. That was Palmiotti and Gray. I'm pretty sure. All right. Aquaman, number one.
I was surprised with this one.
I loved Aquaman, number one.
Yeah, no, they really kicked butt on this one. And then they did, like, this, like, funny twist with it.
Yeah.
Where, like... Where he's kind of making fun of himself.
Well, everybody makes fun of him, just like everybody makes fun of Aquaman in real life.
In real life. Like, so it's like, you're Aquaman. How's it feel? Like, this, like...
Do you need a drink of water?
This guy, like, walks up and he's like, I'm a blogger. Can I interview you? And he asks, like, all these stupid questions.
In a seafood restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah, in a seafood restaurant. And he's there because it reminds him of, like, places.
Oh, gosh, I thought fish were your friends.
Yeah.
Well, I love how
he asks him questions like, how do you feel to basically be a bee superhero, you know? Are you talk to fish?
He's a badass, though.
Yeah.
It's like the armored car is driving through town, and he takes his trident and just stabs the front and flips it over.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God.
And he's, like, just passing by, basically.
Yeah. But then he's like, he goes into the restaurant, and people are like, oh, it's a superhero. It's Aquaman.
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
and all he wants to be is left alone anyway.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll have the fish and chips. Yeah. And they're like, you can't eat fish. Well, why not? You talk to fish. Like, nobody talks to fish.
I don't
fish.
Talk to fish. They're not smart enough to
just control
I make them do things, except for dolphins.
Except for dolphins, that's a little weird or something like that. Like, that's a little different. But, yeah, I dug the hell out of that book.
And I like this, like, the ominous, eerie bad guys that are coming out of the scene, too.
Right, you don't really know what's going on with them.
I'm intrigued.
But, yeah.
No, I will collect Aquaman.
Well, I was going to say, when I was a kid, you know, Aquaman, I don't understand where all this making fun of Aquaman came from, because when I was young, he was cutting U-boats in half and killing Nazis and...
Cutting U-boats in half.
Oh,
how old are you?
Well, you know. I remember the men walking on the moon.
I do not. But yeah, I mean, they did a really good job of taking a character that's the butt of everyone's joke, and they made the jokes kind of the focus of the book, so that you're reading the book and you're like, this is exactly what I've been saying about Aquaman all along. This is why I don't like Aquaman. He talks to fish. There's someone even comes up to him and says, well, supposedly you're king of Atlantis if that place really exists. And he's like, well, yeah, of course it exists. Uh-huh, sure. Nobody's ever seen it, but of course it exists.
Yeah, and of course you're the king of it.
Right. Of course you're the king. So
yeah.
So I thought they did a really good job of making the character, I guess you could even say relevant. To a certain degree, because you have that discussion every time. Who cares about Aquaman? Why is he important? So the first thing they do is have everybody go, you're Aquaman, who cares? Why are you important? So now he's going to prove himself. He's got to make that impact on humanity that's going to make them care about him and think he's important.
Exactly.
All right. I will definitely keep collecting.
Oh, yeah. That one's. I think that might be my favorite of all of these.
It's up there. I was going to say top 5.
The way it reintroduces the character makes you care about him.
All right, Batman: The Dark Knight, number one.
Did we talk? Oh, not this, Batman. This is the
this
Dark.
This is
Knight.
The Dark Knight.
No, I don't think I've read. No, I have not read.
The thing is, you're. Oh, is it? You're not read. No, there it is.
Okay, yes, I did read this one.
This is the one where there's the big breakout at Arkham Asylum, and he has to go
yes.
in and fight. And at the end, Two-Face is like this giant monster.
It felt like this was like the commercial version.
Yeah, I was going to say, this felt like a lot of style over substance.
Yeah.
They did a lot of explosions, a lot of punching, a lot of that
big,
type
big
of action. And at the end, I was like, I don't really care. Like,
they
I
just needed the thong shot.
Right.
Of some hot chick?
Yeah.
No, the Batman. Remember that in the, what was that, the George Clooney?
The thong shot?
The thong shots, the Joel, what's his name?
Joel Schumacher?
Yeah. Yeah.
With bat nipples on the suit?
Yeah.
Nipples. It is very commercial. I think this is probably the, like...
That's
of the Batmans.
Yeah, of the Batman books, that's the bottom barrel for me.
Okay.
Very disappointed in that one. Black Hawks.
No, it's right here. I haven't read it yet.
I actually enjoyed the heck out of this book. It was a World War II fighter pilot team originally.
They got like the Thundercat symbol for their...
Well, no, it's a Black Hawk.
I know, but it looks like
but,
like a Thundercat.
In this incarnation, they're basically the G.I. Joes of the DC Universe.
Oh, okay.
They all have the funny code names. They all have their different specialities. They're all on this team, and it's just a lot of fun.
Right.
I mean, it's just one of those, you know, it's like they don't take the job seriously, but they get the job done, you know what I mean, type of deal. So, like, if you saw the movie Red, it kind of fits with that. It's their G.I. Joe team. Good stuff. The Losers, if you saw the movie The Losers, fits with that, too. All right, The Flash, number one.
Yes.
You're the big Flash fan.
Okay.
You're the one with the Flash poster on the wall.
Yeah, posters.
Was there more than one? Where's the other one?
Maybe this is the only Flash one.
Huh? Did you buy one that you haven't put up?
Yeah, I'm hiding it. It's in my closet.
It's in the bathroom. Behind the toilet so I can look at it.
It seemed like... hold on, where's that? I gotta get it out and take a look at it. This has been a while since I read it.
There it is.
Okay. The art of it reminded me of the past 10 years' worth of...
Well, it's the same artist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Francis Manapal?
Yep. Or that's the
No,
writer.
It's not.
No, it's the writer. That's the artist.
Because Jeff Johns was the writer before.
Yeah.
And he's not writing it now?
No.
Wow. I didn't pay attention to the credits at all. I just totally just picked it up and read it and was like, yep, this is the same as it was before. No, Francis Manapal is co-writing it with Brian Brusatello, but he's still doing the artwork. So there's no Jeff Johns, but Francis Manapal is still doing the book.
I really like this one.
It is different. It is different than before. He's not dating... Well, he's not married to Iris.
No.
And they're not even together. He's got some other girlfriend in this issue. And she doesn't know the Flash, doesn't know who he is, his secret identity or anything like that. And the storyline revolves around a friend that Flash had that he thought was dead, and the guy reappears, and then dies, and then appears again, and then he finds out that there's like a whole bunch of clones of this dude for some reason.
Right.
So his buddy got involved in
something. I was expecting a different take.
What do you mean?
On Flash. I don't know.
Like, it's still, well, but...
Because of Flashpoint.
But he is... The same guy.
He is.
He is the same person from the other universe.
Okay.
He's the one person who made the transition.
I will definitely collect it and see where it goes from there.
Right. It's just in his mind, he remembers the old universe, but he thinks the old universe is the Flashpoint universe.
Right.
He doesn't remember the original universe.
Right.
But he's the one who made the trip across it. So after Flash, we've got The Fury of Firestorm.
No, it's in my stack of four comics I haven't read.
I didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah. They forced the racial tensions between the White Firestorm and the Black Firestorm. And, of course, they did it because the White Firestorm doesn't have any black friends. So, therefore, that proves he's racist. to the Black Firestorm.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Black Firestorm says, well, how many black friends do you have?
You.
Oh, so that proves that you're a racist because you don't have any black friends. Like, okay. There you go. That's the lesson to be learned from that book. Green Lantern New Guardians, which you haven't read yet.
Nope.
That's Kyle Rayner's book, basically. Tells a story about how he became Green Lantern, so it's kind of set in the past. It's another one set back a few years. I don't know if it's going to catch up at some point, but that's where they're doing that one. I, Vampire.
Nope.
I expected to hate that book, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot.
Okay.
Basically, the vampires are real. You know, you look at the cover, and it looks like some sort of bad Twilight tie-in thing, and I think that's just a marketing deal, because the inside of the book
totally
is
different.
Well, I've never seen Twilight, so I would just assume it's nothing like it, because it's basically vampires have lived in the shadows quietly. They've often talked about this idea of rising up and taking over the world, but they never really... Some thought it was a good idea, some thought it was a bad idea, whatever. But now that superheroes are starting to emerge, and now that you're starting to see a Superman and a Green Lantern and whatever, a bunch of them are going, like, we have to do it now, or we're going to lose our chance. Because humans are getting way too powerful. And so they decide, it's like, we got to go, or we're never going to get the opportunity. And so, of course, there's one guy who's like, I don't really want to slaughter all of humanity. Like, that, you know, it's like, I didn't want to be a vampire in the first place, you know, type of deal. And so it's like him trying to figure out how he's going to stop this threat against humanity.
Okay.
So I found that as being a lot more interesting than what I expected. Because looking at the cover, you think it's going to be, oh, teenage love and a vampire. You know what I mean? Justice League Dark.
Yes. I liked it.
Yeah.
And it also has some of those characters from... Flashpoint, the guy with the vest. What's his name?
The guy with the vest.
His powers come from the vest. Isn't that in Justice League Dark?
Grab the paper copy.
Maybe I'm getting confused.
His powers come from the vest.
You'll have to forgive me, folks. I crammed in a lot of comics in a short period of time.
Well, basically, the Enchantress is going crazy, and Superman, Wonder Woman, and Cyborg show up to try to stop her.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a different comic.
Okay. And they can't fight the magic. And all the magic users, who are like Zatanna and Deadman and whoever, are like, well, we're the ones that have to go in and stop Enchantress because we have the ability to deal with magic. You know, Superman has always had a weakness to magic. And so that's where you get this other super team. And in fact... Zatanna is talking with Batman, and Batman's like, well, we got to go take care of this. And she's like, nope, not you. And she casts a spell
this guy.
To have him bound. Oh, Shade the Changing Man.
Yes, that guy.
It's not a vest. It's just a jacket.
Jacket.
Okay.
All right. I was right.
You said vest, and I'm thinking, like, Fat Kirk.
Well, he calls it a vest. From this damn vest.
Well, it's not a vest.
Well,
he calls it
a vest.
He's stupid. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. So that's one I'll definitely stick with. Savage Hawkman.
No, but I want to read it. Another one. I just haven't got a chance to get to it.
Hey, you want to borrow mine?
Sure.
I thought it was pretty good. I'm kind of going to have to see how issue 2 goes. You know, I enjoyed it, but I'm not sure if I'm going to stick around for the long haul. He's an archaeologist. He found this, what he calls the nth metal that gave him the powers, which is basically what the old, you know, legend has always been. Except at the end of this one, there's like this demon who appears who starts stealing the nth metal from him to make himself stronger. And Hawkman can't stop him, but I'm just kind of like, okay, well, I mean, that's cool, I guess, but I'm just not sure, you know, why I'm going to care about him in the long run. You know what I mean?
The cover's neat.
Yeah, I like the artwork.
So the love story between him and...
No Hawkwoman.
Huh.
She might appear later on, but she's not in this at all.
Okay. Well, thanks. I'll give it back to you.
Yeah. Superman number one.
Yes.
And that's the one that's set
I liked Action Comics better.
Right. But this is set in the quote-unquote modern time. The current time.
Again, this felt like the more mainstream version of the two.
Right. Well, and it is.
Yeah.
He's got his powers. He's been established. Everybody recognizes him. The big thing that's different here is, of course, he's not with Lois. No. She's got a different boyfriend.
And she's very, yeah, she doesn't know that.
Well, apparently she's shacking up with, you know, this other dude. And now she works for the TV station. Mm-hmm. Morgan Edge, who's now a black guy.
And Daily Planet has been.
Bought out Daily Planet.
Yeah.
Combined them with his GBS.
Turned it all digital, basically.
Made an online version of the Daily Planet, made in this big conglomerate, and she works for the TV department now, but...
Right.
I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, all the changes that
I'm not that interested in Superman number one, though. I will collect Action Comics. I was very excited about Action Comics, but the main Superman title, I'm not that intrigued.
Hmm. What do you think about the outfit changing a little bit?
What, that he's wearing blue underwear instead of red underwear?
Well, it's just like people go, oh, I hate that he's got a collar. It's like segmented armor that he's wearing instead of it being a smooth suit.
They try to beef him up, it seems like.
His outfit is much more armor than before. It was just tights, you know?
Right. And well, what's with the glowing eyes?
I prefer the tights because...
All the time? I mean...
That's just like him in the middle of that.
I prefer the tights because it was always kind of like, you know, Superman here, he's like this freakishly strong guy, but he's not freakishly huge. And with Superman number one, it seems like they're making him look freakishly huge.
I think the reason why I like the old outfit was because he puts on the tights, and he's basically just a regular guy, but mm-hmm. he's Superman, he can't be harmed. And you think he's wearing... The flimsy, because we wear clothes to protect ourselves. And he's wearing just the flimsiest of whatever, and he's not getting hurt.
Right.
Whereas now he's got, like, this suit of armor on that it looks half robotic.
Right.
You know, it's like he looks like a guy who's going into battle.
Right.
Which makes him different. You know, it's he's much more of an authority figure.
Well, and he's like this brooding character, too, in Superman number one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pissed.
This one where he looks like a rube.
Well, that is set 5 years before what happens in here. So
where he is actually a rube.
He's actually just moved to Metropolis. He doesn't know anybody.
It's a different take on Action Comics 1.
Whereas in Superman 1, it's 5 years later.
In Action Comics 1, he realizes he has these powers. He uses them.
He uses them to fight, like, corrupt businessmen.
Right.
And, you know, bad landlords and stuff like that. Whereas in this one, it's like the giant monsters and
right.
You know, outer space super robots and you know, that kind of stuff. And then, let's see, we had Teen Titans 1, which, like I said, when I first read it, I was like, okay, you know, that's cool, whatever. And then people on YouTube started leaving comments that are like, you know, just, it left a bad feeling with them that, it's this team is just kind of randomly thrown together, whereas before they had that Justice League feel, where it's like they were sidekicks who came together and said there's a threat and we need to face it, whereas here it's like this mysterious group that's going and grabbing all of them and putting them, forcing them together on a team, and so it has a different feel to it, and it's like, you know, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with that.
And the last one is Voodoo.
Voodoo! Which is the shape-changing stripper.
No, thanks.
It's a whole book of
strippers?
Softcore lingerie model shots.
Oh, so it's Grimm Fairy Tales.
And then, yes, it is Grimm Fairy Tales. And then at the end, some guy goes, I know you're an alien from another planet and a shapeshifter. And she goes, what? Bah! Turns into a big lizard, slices him up, kills him, turns back into the stripper and says, I quit, I'm leaving, walks out, grabs her phone, calls somebody, says, yeah, I'll meet you in 10 minutes, turns into a dude, and leaves. And that was like the whole book.
Wow.
So if you really want drawings of a woman in lingerie, that's the one for you.
Okay.
Which I know you're into drawings of women in lingerie.
Who isn't?
So, well, you know, I've seen the sketches you got at Comic-Con, so. So there you go, folks. That's the 52 DC, a whole hour. We spent an average...
We spent less
than 2 minutes per book on average.
It's not bad.
Think about that.
It's not bad.
Wow, I'm tired. Like, can the show be done now? Do we still have to do the other segment? Yeah. Oh, man.
That was all encompassing. So
this is going to be a long night.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break. We'll do a commercial. We're going to go out, smoke a bag of crack, and then we'll come back, and we're going to talk about Deadpool
Do you buy bags of crack?
Don't you?
I don't know. Is it a bag of crack?
Sprinkle it on your cornflakes?
I don't know.
Well, it doesn't come as a powder, right? Because it's a rock.
I don't know. Okay.
So, but I guess you buy it in a tube? Tuba crack?
Bye, Menon.
All right, folks. Be right back.
What it is, friends. Sween Holic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com. Part of the Pop Culture Network.
Yeah, so I think that's what we should do. Michael Moore versus Michael Bolton.
No, this is Comaholics.
Oh, okay.
We're not doing epic rap battles
against
them right now.
Okay. Welcome back, folks.
Slight change in schedule this evening. We spent an hour on DC 52, which kind of puts us behind schedule a little bit.
So we decide we're going to just go ahead and...
Some of us have to work in the morning, which is you, right. Basis, not me.
But Keith, too.
Well, I do. So.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever.
Yeah, right.
You're old, you always need sleep.
Exactly.
So.
No, I need very little now, really.
The older you get, the less you need.
But anyway, so we're going to... So wait, you're saying that my great-grandpa only needs like 50 minutes
right.
of sleep a night?
Yeah, a quick little power nap.
Yeah. So instead, we are going to save Deadpool Max
for the next time
for some other week, but instead we are just going to jump to our final segment tonight, and that is Frank Miller's Holy Terror, which is a hardback which costs $30, which is not what you were expecting to buy when
I thought this was like a I thought it was going to be like a four-part
miniseries
or something,
but nope, you got a big ass hardcover.
Which I'm taking mine back. Yeah, you had. There's some bent pages.
Yeah. Some creasing going
on.
Folded and.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know if, you know, it got flipped up and folded on itself.
Yeah. Well, we'll mark it as damaged and they'll send a new one, but we may actually have to send that one back.
That's fine.
It's a big ass hardcover.
I mean, and I guess I'll lead up to this later, but the quality of this book, this is a collector.
Okay, well, there are a couple things. First of all, just talking about the artwork in general, he has a lot of pages that it's just like, just imagine this page, like, in a frame on your wall.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I mean, just these cityscapes that he does with the rain and everything, all the little, details.
Okay, so if you've been living under a rock, you don't know who Frank Miller is. Frank Miller did 300.
He did The Dark Knight Returns, which was the
Sin City.
He wrote Batman Year One.
Right.
Sin City he co-directed, and he did direct The Spirit.
Right.
He's one of those guys who he did Daredevil.
If you're not familiar with his art at all, like, if you have no idea who he is, the best way I can describe him is it's, of any other artist I've ever seen, he kind of has that,
Stedman.
Ralph Stedman-esque, 2D to 3D imagery, where it's a two-dimensional drawing, but the way he uses his color format and the objects around it give it that pop, that life, where, like, he'll have a scene where there's a couple of frames in there where you can't make it out, but it's if you sit back and look at the page, you see shapes and images pop out, but that's not the main focus of the page, if that makes any sense. He'll make things pop out that aren't necessarily the main theme of the page.
What do you mean by pop out?
Like, for example, here. When the two main characters are embraced on in this, like, factory scene, and the artwork changes on some of the building structures, and it's like he purposely does the art to, like, redirect your... You know how we talk about how, like, you know, they use...
Good artwork leads you across the page.
Right. His methodology is he changes the art style, okay. I think. And that's what takes you from the next frame. Well, this book isn't really full of frames so much.
Well, you know, it's funny. The artwork that inspired him to do this is actually a French comic called Alak Sinner. Which is about this New York cop, and it has this really kind of film noir style to it. There's a shot from the book. Mm-hmm. But the artist, this French artist, here, there's a piece of the artwork. That's where he gets the inspiration for the heavy black areas and right. the thin line work on the characters. Charlie Minswell Linus, which is, I'm sure, not how you pronounce that at all. But Carlos Sampaio, Jose Munoz.
I guess if I were to use two words to describe the artwork, it would be raw and robust.
Well, like the artist that they draw from here, this same artist also inspired Keith Giffen, who did the artwork in Omec.
Okay.
And he didn't do as much with the dark areas in Omec, but he still had that line work style to it. And they both come from that same root where they draw that inspiration from.
Yeah, but anyway, this scene right here,
in all the debris,
post explosion. Okay,
that's the artwork. Let's talk about the story here a little bit. Brief overview of the story.
There's a super do-gooder bad guy chasing down a cat burglar.
Super do-gooder bad guy?
Well, that's how the cat burglar perceives him. It's like this do-gooder, you know.
Yeah, but he's not. He's the superhero.
Yeah.
He's not a bad guy.
No, I'm sorry. That's it.
No,
I said the super do-gooder chasing the cat burglar bad
guy. No, you said super do-gooder bad guy.
Yeah. That's an oxymoron.
So you have this vigilante hero chasing after the cat burglar chick.
Right.
And this explosion goes off. And as they're recovering from that, other explosions start going off around the city.
And they're
trying to figure what's going on and why this is happening. And they find out that there's an Al-Qaeda terrorist cell
right.
in his city, and they're getting ready to do some sort of massive strike. They fire missiles at the Statue of Liberty looking...
The Blind Justice.
Blind Justice statue out in the harbor and right. collapse it. And
this
they realize
Empire City.
Yeah, they call it Empire City. And he finds this Al-Qaeda cell. They have this nerve gas that they're getting ready to release on the city, and he realizes he's got to stop them. And if he dies, so be it. But he's going to do whatever it takes to stop these terrorists from destroying his city.
Right.
So that's the basic run of the story.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because we talked about this before it came out, and you told me that, maybe you told me or I had read somewhere that this was inspired post 9/11.
Right.
And the imagery in here, the political, it's almost like satire that's worked in here.
Yeah, he draws basically everyone.
Right.
Involved. Nancy Pelosi, yeah. Condoleezza Rice, yeah. Ahmadinejad, however you say his name.
Dinner jacket.
Osama bin Laden,
Obama,
yeah, Kim Jong-il,
Gaddafi,
Joe Biden, yeah. Hillary.
Who's it, the well,
there's
Palin.
There's Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
There's Palin.
Yeah.
Karzai.
And then in the middle is the Russian guy,
Putin.
He's got the scenes of the women in the Hadib, whatever, holding up the machine gun and... You know, people burning American
Rocket
flags
launchers.
And, you know, all that kind of stuff. But this book, he started out drawing this book as a Batman story.
Huh.
This was originally supposed to be Gotham City. Commissioner Gordon, Batman, and Catwoman.
Oh!
Okay. And he started working on it, and he said, I really want to take this to, you know, dark, vengeful places. And a lot of people working on Batman, working at DC Comics, they were like, I don't know if that really works with Batman. You know, would Batman really be this all-out revenge mode? Right, and so he kind of agreed with them. He said, yeah, you're right. I want to do more with this character than what Batman would do. So instead of it being, because it was originally supposed to be Holy Terror, comma, Batman.
Right.
As in, like, the old joke from the 60s TV show. Right. Holy Terror, Batman! So it went from Holy Terror, Batman, to cutting off Batman, and just, it's Holy Terror. And instead of Batman, you have the Fixer. You have this female cat burglar. You've got...
Which is, you know... This just shows the talent of his writing, too, because that didn't matter. It didn't matter at all.
And did you get the feeling, though?
You didn't have to have
that
story.
Yeah, when I saw the police commissioner guy.
Like, that totally looks like Gordon, yeah.
Totally.
You know, you don't have to have that backstory of who these characters are to be moved by what's going on.
Right.
So.
It also, because there are so many superhero books.
What did you think of the story?
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, you know, they dress her up in the perka
to get her to sneak into the
infiltrates
the lair.
What one thing? Okay, if you look at the book, it is wide, like it's a widescreen book. One thing I noticed is that, you know, a lot of his artwork is full page, but some of these where he starts breaking it down into panels. If you look at it, it looks, you've got four panels on the page, right? So your natural inclination is to go panel, 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 panel.
No, yes,
you
down,
read across.
Down.
And that's not because this is the scene. This was supposed to be...
Two pages.
Okay.
Folded like in half. Nice. And so you're supposed to read the top half, bottom half, then move to the second column, top half, bottom half. This is a page, this is a page. And so originally the idea was these full page pieces were going to be cut in half. And the seam of the book going down the middle, and they looked
instead
at the artwork.
They
looked at the artwork and they said, "There's no way we're going to put a gutter in the middle of this page. This page has to be preserved in that widescreen format." And so you do have kind of this awkward, you know, you get into some of these pages where there are multiple panels, and you have to remind yourself, "I got to stop and go down instead of reading across," which I'm naturally inclined to do.
This is probably. Revived my faith in comic book reading. Seriously, the talent put into this book, it really inspired me. Like, I remember Keith came over a couple nights ago, and I needed to read it up before he got here because I wanted
to
read it.
Yeah, you were just finishing it up.
And I relished the last few pages. Like there's a lot of talent put in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And it really inspired me to, like, read more. In fact, I finished this on Friday, and I had so much to read before tonight.
Right.
To get caught up. And it just inspired me to, like, want to, like, read more comics. I don't know, it's a good story. It's kind of in the parlance of our times.
All right, now, you wanted to talk about the quote in the front there?
This whole page, I mean... To reproduce this, to print a white piece of paper black and have the black consistently black. There's no graying in this. There's no light. This page is white.
You're talking about the quality of the printing and the binding of the work.
This is so hard to do, and it's so precise.
Yeah, because you worked at a print shop, right?
Well, I work for a company that supplies these guys. And the quality of this printing and the text he uses and this quote, I mean, it's just, oh man, this, if you know, if you meet the infidel, kill the infidel, Muhammad. Wow, that sets quite a tone, and that's the start of it.
Right. I mean, that gives you the mindset of where he's coming from going into this story. And also, the back, respectfully dedicated to Theo Van Gogh. Do you know who Theo Van Gogh is? Theo Van Gogh, I want to say he was, he lived in Denmark,
I believe. He did a documentary about Islamic fundamentalists and coming over to Europe and how they're starting to get into European society. Oh. Mm-hmm. And they killed him on the streets. Someone walked up with a knife and just gutted him in the middle of the street because he did a film about Islamic extremists. And so, you know, he's saying that, like, you know, you hear politicians like, oh, it's not really a problem, blah, 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 blah. And he's, you know, this whole book is Frank Miller saying there's a problem out there.
Right.
You know, you've got to recognize that there is a problem, you know. There aren't a lot of...
I like how, I want to go back to the politics of it a little bit. I like how he just threw it out on the pages but didn't really present a side. You know?
His story is that his city's being attacked and he's there to protect the city at all costs. And despite the politics and the world leaders arguing over what's best and this and that and the other, like, there's an injustice that's happening to him and his city.
Right.
And he's going to take care of it.
Meanwhile, there's this love story between him and this cat burglar.
Between kid. Batman and Catwoman?
Yeah.
The fixer
and the cat burglar.
Yeah.
The funny thing is as much as there's, like, this kind of, like, dirty foreplay between the two of them going on, like, this whole time they're fighting, but they're both getting turned on by it and all that stuff.
Fighting each other at first and getting turned on
by
it.
But they do that whole thing, and there's no... In the DC 52, at the end of Catwoman, Batman shows up, and the two of them just basically pull down their pants and hop on the floor.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's just as vulgar, but it's not as demeaning.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like this is how you do edgy and adult,
right?
Without it dropping into that kind of sophomoric, you know, oh, they're having sex.
I almost saw a nipple.
Right. And
how'd you like the end of it though?
I also how the post traumatic stress on Commissioner Gordon there. Now he's trying to get over. Yeah, because that's what terror is.
Right.
Terror sticks with you. It doesn't go away. I also noticed that as the book goes along, he realized at some point that the breaking the artwork into two pages wasn't going to fly, and it was going to be, you know, laid out widescreen. So the artwork actually changes as the book goes on to take full advantage of the fact that he knew it wasn't going to be broken up.
Right.
Because by the time you get towards the end, you do go all the way across the page.
Oh, he's hogging the pages, and I like it.
Yeah, there's a lot of bleed that goes off the
page.
And
also, another 9/11 reference when he talks about all the faces of the people that have died, or are going to die, the little different little,
the little portraits.
And it fades into nothing.
Yeah.
I thought that was, like, most people think that's a waste of pages, but it's also, like, it's a way of, like, reflecting your thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like you take that moment to turn that page and think about why you're turning that page.
Yeah, and also like this.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the shot of the decapitated head being held up, but it's in silhouette, so he's not giving you gory details.
But the image is there.
But the silhouette is enough that you know what's going on. He doesn't have to put in all the gore, but the fact that the way he does it and the way he's got the blood splatters in white on the black silhouette.
The previous page, too, beautifully done. Like, any person of any language can look at that page
and know exactly what's going on.
See the conflict that's going on there.
You've got the, I don't know if that's supposed to be Ariel Sharon, but you can tell that he's old, he's tired, he looks like he's afraid and fearful. You've got the explosion going on in the Jewish temple. You've got this Islamic leader that looks like he's angry. You've got this Islamic leader, looks like he's angry. You've got words written in blood. You've got more explosion. And you've got the nails flying through from the bomb that went off. Like,
and then the next page is the
decapitated head.
Yeah.
It's like there is a problem. And it is extremism.
Right.
You know, at no point is he saying this is all of Islam.
Right.
But he's saying there are
he's
people.
He's just saying all of extremism, period.
Right. Yeah, I mean, this is a beautiful, beautiful book. And
this David character, this guy,
He's got the Star of David tattooed on his face.
With the blue Star of David.
And the Star of David is blue.
Yeah.
And that's, and that's
his
a key.
Is white.
Yeah. That's one thing Frank Miller does is he picks
and he's just
spots
in it
of
for,
color.
Yeah, he's just in it for three panels, but you know, by the time you get to the end of the next page, you're convinced that in those three panels, you just met the baddest man
right.
ever in
right.
the whole world.
And they express it. This
and
is, well,
and
this
he
is
just says a couple
know.
Of words.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, think about it, like the way, not to get too political again, but the way Jews are persecuted worldwide, if you have the Star of David tattooed on your face,
you are a
like,
bad
you're looking
man.
For a fight. You're looking for someone to pick a fight with you. You're saying,
right.
bring it on,
because
right. here it is.
Yeah,
you know what
you
I mean?
Got.
I mean, that's right there. Boom. Yeah, so there's definitely a lot. There's a lot that's thrown in your face, but not said.
Right.
In, going on in this book. And it, you know, the spot colors, the way he always does. He picks
I like
a
the right. color choice, too.
Like either her eyes or the bottoms of her shoes.
Yeah, her shoes are red. And you see this little speck of red in some of these shots.
Or her green eyes. She has bright green eyes.
I like how she's got, going back to, like, the Catwoman look, her claw-like hands.
Right.
Her spiked shoes and...
garter belts.
Yeah.
And garter hose.
And it's, you know, doing the spot colors, you would think that he would make, like, the blood red. You know what I mean? But he doesn't do that.
No.
That would be too obvious.
Yeah, there's the... where the
yeah, the white pages. And not only that, but it also looks like skyscrapers.
Uh-huh.
You know? It kind of turns into that... As
oh,
the
yeah.
as the faces the people die and the faces disappear and instead pans out.
It's like looking at a building.
Yeah, you're looking at the side of a skyscraper.
I wonder if this wasn't like a release for him.
Oh, I'm sure it was.
Of 9/11 and you know his views of terrorism.
And yeah, trying to confront.
But and it still has that Sin City style. It's very, like, he brings to the page a new wave of writing style that just, like, makes you want to keep turning the pages.
Right,
and he also, he has the weirdest storytelling where here's, like, two pages, three panels, covers the span of, like, you know, 10
it's like
seconds or whatever.
And all it is right. is a thought of what's going on.
Right. But
it's
then,
not what's going on.
But then a couple
seeing.
Pages later, you've got a page that's all two heads talking to each other the entire time
right.
driving in the car. Full of text.
Right.
You know, those other pages take right. you know, 5 seconds. You're like, yeah, I got it. You flip to the next page. This page, you got to sit here and read this page for like 2.5 minutes.
Right. He uses objects to express his thought in like a couple of pages. And it may just be like, two very large frames, like before it was like the Statue of Blind Justice,
right.
and then being riddled full of bullets, right, or nails, or,
right.
you know, and then, like, I think he purposely does that, because he wants you to, he'll present something to you, and then, like, those frames are a way of you processing your thoughts before it leads up to the next
It's
segment.
Like, you're, well, it's like when you watch it happen on TV,
right.
that image is stuck in your head. Here's the image.
Right.
Exactly.
Now carry this over to the next segment.
One thing, going back to the David character, I don't know if Frank Miller's Jewish. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
He could be, he might not be. I don't know if that's even important to this. But if you look at the character of David in silhouette on the page where he appears,
mm-hmm.
and he's got the hat, he's got the flipped up collar and everything, if you look at the picture of Frank Miller in the back, he's wearing the hat,
yeah.
he's got the black coat with the big collar on it,
yeah.
he looks like the
oh, yeah.
guy that he yeah. drew as that character.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like I said, I don't know if Frank Miller's Jewish. He
right.
could be, he might not be, but it seems like he's really identifying himself.
Well, Miller could be a German name.
Well, and he's also... You know, if he is saying that that's me, you know, in that book, even if he's not Jewish, he's saying treat me the same way. You know what
right.
I mean? He's like, for the purposes of terror, I am Jewish. You know, I will
right.
stand with the Jewish people. You know what I mean? So, I just think that's kind of interesting how, and that's the photo he chose
right.
to represent himself. It's not him like at Mardi Gras, yeah. not him at the drawing table. Right. It's like this picture that looks yeah. like the character that you see. In the
yeah, this is a stage shot. Shoot.
Yeah. So,
Anything you don't like about the book?
I'd say if there's anything I don't like, I think it is kind of how the beginning of the book, time seems to go by so quickly. And then he's got these huge pages of stuff going on where the artwork's beautiful, you know, but it's just like, you know, you're looking at them jumping over buildings. You're looking at them flying through the air. You're looking at them taking a tumble with each other off the roof. And then when he gets towards the end of the book, you've got, you know, them fighting underwater, and it's two pages. It's a page and a half. You know what I mean? It's like,
you notice how he chose pink?
Yeah. Pink for the water?
It's like a love scene. Them tangling in the water.
No, I thought it was Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, no. I don't know. I, why would he choose pink?
I don't know. Why would he put this?
That was the other thing I want to mention. He likes to put in, like, random drawings of things that don't really apply to anything, but, like, maybe it does, and maybe I'm just not smart enough to catch it. But, like, the weird, yeah, the big tooth, like...
I forget what the fish is called, but he's got the light on the end of his antenna. Yeah.
It's like, why did he incorporate that in the pages? The angler fish. And it's obvious, because it's like, you've got the two bad guys, you've got the cat burglar, and then you got the fish.
And, like, that's all that's underwater.
Yeah. There's a couple other images that pass through.
Yeah, well, like when they're in the underground city. Here's the silhouettes of the terrorists.
Oh, I love this scene where she's like, yeah, they use a little too much rope, you know.
And they had a good time doing
yeah,
it.
Exactly.
And it's like yeah, totally it's like, tied around her breasts. in that funny
Make
way.
Make sure those breasts are secure.
But
and I like the whole part with this guy gloating.
What they're gonna do?
The bad jihad guy gloating.
And
that's kind of classic Batman villain too.
But it's like they're everybody's in silhouette. You know, all the bad guys are in silhouette. You've got the dead Irish guy, and his beard though. He had a white beard, and so his beard is still white, even though his whole body's in silhouette, and the bottom of his sneakers.
Right.
Yeah.
Like he drew all the details. Yeah, he drew 9,000.
Just like a big black blob.
Right, he drew 9,000 little triangles in the bottom of this guy's shoe, right. But then the whole rest of his body is in silhouette except for his white beard.
Right.
I mean, it's like crazy, but you totally know who it is.
Yeah,
you know?
The methodology of his artwork, it's completely inconsistent with anything that's out there right now.
Right, it's
and
his
I think
own
that's,
style.
Yeah,
like,
and I think that's why I really enjoy it.
It makes sense for him, and if anyone else tried to do it, it'd be stupid.
Right.
But he does it, and it's awesome. And it works. Yeah, it's just an incredible book from every
and
level.
Two guys, the tops of their heads disappear, and the guys standing next to them are like,
what? Yeah, their heads disappear in gunfire. So, yeah, I love everything about this book, really. I mean,
I'll probably read it 5 times.
Yeah. I mean, this is one of those on my shelf. I've got, like, this shelf.
I love it so much. My copy, because Dirt and I both got a copy. My copy, a few of the pages are creased. I'm making him send it back and getting another one.
Get a fresh.
Because I want this to be, it's a collector, you know? I mean.
Yeah, it's shipped. It's somewhere in shipment.
If Comiholics exists for, like, episode 52, we'll probably reference this book at some point. You know, because I think when we... You know, you have to have, like, an anchor, a framing point.
This is
almost...
We're
talking about good talent and different perspectives of writing, well, style, and art. And, yeah. I mean, this is it. I mean,
you know,
is...
I have this weird tradition where every 9/11, I watch the documentary.
Yeah.
The French filmmakers.
Which
who
is
were doing
it's my birthday. And for the record, you know, and since, you know, that happened, since the towers went down, I never celebrate my birthday on September 11th anymore. I always do it the day before. I don't do it on my birthday anymore.
Right.
And it's not because, you know, I'm trying to, like, make a point. It's that I'm really sad that day.
Yeah.
You know? I'm always sad that day, and it's my birthday. So to alleviate that and to not feel guilty at the same time. I always celebrate the day before, get it over with, and then I just have a hangover
right.
September 11th, and then I watch the History Channel, and then I right. really get depressed.
Right.
You know
but it's one of those, every September 11th, I watch that documentary, or there's another one from a place called, like, CameraPlanet.com. And it was a website that was set up for people to share video that they took, and, you know, just a random website. And, of course, on September 11th, everybody grabbed their video cameras, and everybody took footage, and they all uploaded it to this website. So this website made a documentary mm-hmm. of everybody's,
right.
you know, found footage. So it's people looking out their balcony window, freaking out, people who were on the street, you know, talking to their buddy, and suddenly something was happening, and, you know, all this random stuff. And, you know, on September 11th, I watched one of those two documentaries. But I almost think, like, I'm going to put this book on my shelf, and I may not touch it again until next September 11th, right. and then pull it out and read it.
Well, it just goes to show you that, as Americans, you know, the wounds are still pretty deep, you know, and, you know, here we are, the 10th year anniversary, you know, it's what, October 2nd right now, so it's the 10th year anniversary of PASS. It was a very sad day for me on my birthday, and you know, it always will be, but, yeah, I think that, you know, it does show that the scars are still there. And I really like how Frank Miller presented it.
And
his, you know, his perception.
He confronts it head on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no...
Well, there's no hiding.
There's no pussyfooting around. Yeah. It's okay, you want to fight, we're going to give you a fight, is basically what it comes down to. You picked a fight with us, so we're going to pick a fight with you. You know? And,
we're going to use the fixer as our implement.
That's
your
right.
Destruction.
Our Batman.
Yeah, I was going to say our Batman. Well, and also, I noticed in the credits of the book, first printing, September 2011. So they had to make sure that they added it September
right.
in there to make sure that you got the
that it was
got the message there.
So yeah, $30, well spent. If you don't have this, you should get it. You know, it's not something you throw up on the tank of your toilet. And, you know, it's a good book.
And this is also, I can also see this as something that's really, like, this will piss off a lot of pacifist types.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, well, you don't understand the geopolitical ramifications that led to the attacks of the blah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I can see them.
They'll hate this book.
I could see those extremist folks
burning
for
this
Mr. Miller's head.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Him and Salman Rushdie.
Yeah. Oh, they called the one off on Rushdie.
Oh, they call it off now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Oh yeah,
no,
we're
it's
not
okay now. It's
you
okay.
Can
you
come
can
out
come
now.
Out.
It's all right.
So, yeah. So, I love the book. Thumbs up. Definitely must buy.
Yep.
Yes.
Everybody should get a copy of that. All right. So, like we said...
Yeah, just to wrap it up, you know, I just want to say, you know, this is a little different format than we usually do. Usually we try to put in that third or fourth segment, but it's been a long haul. We had a lot to read, a lot going on this month, and
you have new cabinets in your kitchen.
Yes, oh my goodness.
Thank God.
Yeah, that was a huge remodel project. Anyways, happy Halloween, if we don't get another segment in before then. Really looking forward to that. The 10th annual Halloween party.
Another big bash
of
here.
Debauchery, yeah. A couple kegs.
Are we setting up the projector and doing
yes.
that Living Dead in your
yeah.
garage again?
Yeah, so everybody go turn on AMC and start watching the horror movies and get in.
Ooh, Walking Dead starts in
I know,
real
Walking
soon.
Dead, yeah.
That's starting in a couple weeks.
And there's also, like, another, like, horror show on. A new horror show.
Oh, yeah. American Horror Story.
Yeah. Something like that.
So let's get into the season, folks. This is my favorite time of year. Start thinking about your costumes. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be Deadpool. I think I found a costume.
I think you need to work out a little bit.
What are you talking about?
I mean, Deadpool
perfect.
On donuts.
I am perfect, just the way I am.
Donut pool.
On the way the Lord made me. And if I can get my wife to dress up like Domino, which I think I got her convinced, she just doesn't want to put all that eye makeup on.
You guys should do Fixer in the...
Yeah, nah, I'm not going to get her in garters. It's not going to happen. I mean,
at least
in my head.
Public party.
In my head, she's, yeah.
None of other people are coming over.
So, yeah, happy Halloween, because I don't think we're probably going to get another segment in this month. This is probably it.
I don't know. It's a pretty tight schedule.
Yeah.
This month.
So we'll probably follow up in November. We'll have some good stuff then. We'll do Deadpool Max.
For sure.
Full show.
Well, then our other two books are going to be, what do we got there? We got Harbinger, The Beginning, which is collects the beginning of the Valiant series in a hardcover. And then we also have Syndrome.
Didn't you get that free at the, is that one of those books that they're...
Which one?
Remember when we went to the C2E2, we sat in on that panel and they were passing out books. And that was one of the books they were passing out. And they
from
said,
Archaea.
Yeah.
Syndrome, okay. Yeah. And this is, here, let me see this real quick. This is from Archaea's Black Label. And the Black Label is stuff that they're doing that has a connection to Hollywood in one form or another. So either screenwriters who want to do something or production teams that were maybe working on a script and it didn't quite work out, but they want to, you know, produce it in some other form, so they bring it to them to make into a comic or something. And this one, Syndrome, is written by Blake. It looks like Libel, I'm going to guess. But he actually wrote Spaceballs, the animated series.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. What if there's a Spaceballs in the animated series?
It didn't last very long.
What, did it suck?
No, it wasn't. It was like nobody got it.
No.
Like little kids watching it didn't get the jokes.
Right.
And adults don't get up at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
So.
It should have been like on Adult Swim.
Yes. It was ahead of its time and too early in the morning, so. But yeah, so Syndrome and Harbinger the Beginning, along with Deadpool Max next time.
All right, sounds good. So, take it away, Dirt.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You know,
if you would like to send us any questions or comments, feel free to send me an email, dirt@popculture.com, or dirt@ineedcomics.com, or dirt@comaholics.com, or apocalypse@ineedcomics.com, or apocalypse@comaholics.com. You can catch us at any of those locations. You can also come to popculturenetwork.com, or ineedcomics.com, or comaholics.com, and feel free to join the forums and join in the comic book discussions. You can also leave us a voicemail on our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. You'll never have to talk to a human being. You can just leave a message, but there is a 10-minute limit, and yes, we've had people reach the limit. So, if you want to send us any questions or comments, feel free to use any of those outlets. Also, don't forget to check out all the other great stuff we have at ineedcomics.com and popculturenetwork.com. We've got other comic reviews, such as the Comics Corner, Comic Nation TV, and of course you can find more episodes of this show, Comaholics. Also at popculturenetwork.com, you can find thatnewtoysmell.com, which just ended. That New Toysmell just had their final episode, but we're still continuing on with the news desk, the fan corner, and of course, there's always more toy reviews. We also have entertainment podcasts, we've got wrestling shows, we've got all sorts of great, amazing stuff at popculturenetwork.com. So make sure you stop by and check it out. Anything else you'd like to add now that the show is ending?
Just don't touch me there. My mother touched me there once.
And then what happened?
She has to wear orthopedic shirts.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next time.